James Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Life! Life, you hear me? Give my creation life!
So this was fun.
You're going to like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Any questions before we proceed?
Get caught up. Six, five, four, three, two, one.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast area.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
The world is getting older. There's a few things to be said.
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Guy James Show here on a Wednesday, Halloween Eve. Ah, yes, Halloween. Get all your little trick-or-treating bags ready to go out and hit the streets a little later on. Ah, yes. Halloween. Good to be back in the chair with you today. Good to be back from our trip. The most recent one over the weekend, Phoenix, and we got a good case of some kind of flu coming home, that's for sure, on the airplane. I even took my airborne and still had a bunch of people hacking and sneezing and coughing around where I was sitting and picked up a little something, but feeling good today for right now. I think we're sounding okay. Don't sound like we have a terrible cold anyway. So glad to be back in the chair with you. I'm glad to be sharing all the political events of the day and yesterday and maybe even the past few days with all of you. Halloween. Ah, man. Halloween Eve, and I have no candy corn. I don't have any candy corn. Damn it. I loved that stuff when I was a kid. How about that trick-or-treating when you were a kid? Those of you that were my age, I think that was the golden age of trick-or-treating when I was a youngster. My brother and my cousin Carolyn and Harold and I, we would go out trick-or-treating in the local town. They lived in town, and I lived out in the country, so we get all dressed up like bums and vagrants and all that. We didn't go out and buy fancy suits at Walmart and all that sort of thing. And so we'd go trick-or-treating. We'd go into town, go trick-or-treating, and we'd take grocery bags. We didn't have those damn little plastic bags like they got today. There's little pumpkins. No, we took big paper grocery bags. Oh, yeah. And it's too bad the kids today can't have as much fun as we did. You know, we wanted candy. Give us candy, or we'll soap your windows, or maybe even worse. Maybe even worse. Sometimes worse. I don't want to give anything away, but, you know, we'd take those great big grocery paper bags out, and we'd get them filled up, and we'd take it back to the house and get another one. We scored enough candy to last till Christmas. And Halloween was always a big thing. Enjoyed it very much. Just answering a piece of email we got here coming in right off the bat. Lots of email. You're welcome to email us, by the way, if you're listening on the stream. GuyJames@theGuyJamesShow.com. And you're welcome to give us a call here at 866-546-5254. 866-546-5254. And we'll be glad to take your calls. And, of course, if you're on one of those unlimited calling plans, why, you can give us a call on your nickel at 941-876-6896. I'm taking a look and see who all's on the chat room right now. I assume the Steam stream's up and running okay. Nobody's responded to whether it is or not. all the gauges here look like everything's doing just fine today. Hope somebody does answer me on the chat room there pretty soon. I think they will. Anyway, it's a old cool day here in Southwest Florida. A very cool day, about 82, 83 degrees and a little bit of rain. Now, they tell me the stream is running, but just music. Somebody want to answer that? We'll see. We're inquiring. Anyway, getting conflicting reports of somebody. Well, we're going to pause for a break, and we'll be back in just a moment. All right, so we're having one of those days it's hard to tell what's going on. Some people say the stream is, okay.
Strange nation has ocean on two sides and the Bama crimson tide in the south, tilted slightly toward the north. The immigrants pour forth seeking Phoenix and life hand to mouth. My strange nation tilts sharply to the right, with our leaders straight and white as our teeth. Our population's mixed, but our election's fixed in my strange nation, America. My strange nation, of slaves who were sailed here across the waves from far away. This cruel experiment was ended by a president who was both a Republican and gay. My strange nation gave the Indians our germs. They surrendered on our terms, as in died. Their survivors filed appeals, so we gave them roulette wheels in my strange nation, America. But my strange nation has lost its mind again, sending young women and men off to war that aren't clear, unless you're standing near to the rich and the righteous and the bored. And my strange nation, enamored of the cross, and who will win the toss of the coin, the circus and the bread, distract us from the dead in my strange nation, America. But my strange nation will surely come around, for you cannot hold us down for long. We'll sputter and we'll cough and throw the despots off. This land, for its mountains and its lakes, tornadoes and earthquakes, for its poets and pioneers, for its fetishes and fears, for its freedom of dissent, for its greasy government. And I will not change this.
Said to Paul, you know all those words we wrote are just the rules of the game, and the rules are the first to go. But now talking to God is Laurel begging Hardy for a gun. I Got a girl in the war, man, I wonder what it is we've done. Paul said to Petey, you gotta rock yourself a little harder. Pretend the dove from above is a dragon and your feet are on fire. I got a girl in the war, Paul, the only thing I know. Music and pray that she makes it through. Because the keys to the kingdom got locked inside the kingdom. And the angels fly around in there, but we can't see them. Find a way to help, or they can go to hell. If they can't find a way to help, or they can go to hell.
Before we proceed,
begin countdown. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast area.
Oh my. my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show. Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Hey there. Welcome to the Guy James Show. Good to have all of you along with us this afternoon. Sorry about the little problems there with the network. You know, things do happen, even at ABC, CBS, NBC, NPR, and all that sort of thing. It does happen now and then. So I guess we're just like everybody else. We have a problem. The only thing is we don't have 500 engineers working back in the engineering room. Hey, welcome to the show. Good to be back with you after being off for a little while, off doing a little traveling, a couple of different places, most recently Phoenix, coming home from Phoenix. I think we got some kind of a bug on the airplane and under the weather yesterday. But we're back today, feeling better, and Hope you're feeling well, too. And thanks for joining us here on the Guy James Show today. Hello to everybody over on the chat room. Are you there? Looks like you are. Everybody just typing away, chatting away, having a good old time. We welcome your emails here at the Guy James Show, guyjames@theguyjamesshow.com. Also, we welcome your phone calls at 866-546-5254, 866-546-5254. And if you want to call on your nickel, if you've got one of those great, unlimited calling plans, 941-876-6896. Halloween Eve. Ah, yes, it's Halloween Eve, and I know the trick-or-treaters will be stopping by, about 3 hours from now, 3.5 hours from now, as soon as it gets dark here. We're in Southwest Florida, and it's getting dark about around 6:45 now. Different. I did notice out in Phoenix, it gets dark there early, and 3 hours difference. And I guess all that time change is what, next weekend? I haven't kept track of it this year, but I think it's next weekend. But it's Halloween Eve, and I have no candy corn. Damn, no candy corn. This may be my first Halloween ever without some candy corn. Damn. And how about that, that trick-or-treating? You remember when you were a kid and went trick-or-treating? I guess everybody in my genre, my age group, remembers probably the zenith of trick-or-treating. Oh, yes. We'd go out and give us candy, or we're going to soap your windows, or maybe even a little bit worse. And it's too bad today that the kids can't have as much fun with this as my friends and my couple of my cousins that lived in town and my brother and I. We'd all go trick-or-treating. We'd go into town, and we'd hit every house in town. We didn't bother to go out with those little plastic pumpkins or plastic grocery bags. Oh, no. We went with those big paper grocery bags, the big ones. You know what I'm talking about? And we'd fill those babies up. We'd go back home and get another one. We'd score enough candy to last till Christmas. I mean, it was great. And we didn't want, you'd go to some of the old ladies' houses and they'd give you popcorn balls and apples and stuff. We didn't want that. We wanted candy. Ah, yeah. So anyway, it's Halloween. And here we are. We got a little candy ready for the trick-or-treaters. And if they don't come by, I guess we'll eat it ourselves, huh? But we don't have any candy corn. Hoping to get a response here from the chat room, if you hear me typing away here. Do want to mention that I wanted to talk a little bit about the debate today. Of course, now you know... Everybody's saying Dennis Kucinich is crazy. He's crazy. Yes, Dennis Kucinich is crazy. Right? Yes. Because they asked him the question, had he ever seen a UFO? I've seen a UFO. That doesn't mean it was extraterrestrial. Have any of you seen anything from... that you didn't know what it was? Anybody done that? Looked up in the sky at night and seen something? That would be an unidentified flying object, now wouldn't it? Of course it would. It does not mean it was from an alien spacecraft. What a shame. What a shame that, this has turned into gotcha politics. Does anybody remember, and I looked this up today, and I thought I'd remembered this. Ronald Reagan said he saw two UFOs. You know, he's a god in the right wing, right? He's a god. And, here's a guy that's got an aircraft carrier named after him. And he claimed to have seen two UFOs. And let me just read this little story here. The first sighting was made public by Steve Allen on his WNEW AM radio show in New York City. Allen stated that a well-known personality in the entertainment industry had confided a UFO story to him many years before. As the story had already made the rounds in the rumor mill, there was no question the comedian and host was referring to Ronald Reagan and his wife, Nancy. Ron and Nancy were expected at a casual dinner party with friends in Hollywood. Except for the Reagans, all the guests had arrived, and so Ron and Nancy showed up a half hour late, quite upset. And they stated they had seen a UFO coming down the coast. And Lucille Ball, in her book, Lucy in the Afternoon, also described the president. Said after he was elected president, I kept thinking about that event and wondering if he still would have won if he told everybody that he saw a flying saucer. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Reagan also told a reporter years later that he said, I was in a plane last week when I looked out the window and saw this white light. It was zigzagging around. I went up to the pilot and said, have you seen anything like that before? He was shocked and said, nope. And I said to him, let's follow it. And we followed it for several minutes. It was a bright white light. We followed it to Bakersfield. And all of a sudden, to our utter amazement, it went straight up into the heavens. When we got off the plane, I told Nancy all about it. Is Ronald Reagan crazy, all you Republicans? Huh? No. Ronald Reagan, according to you anyway, wasn't crazy. So Dennis Kucinich merely asked if he believed in UFOs, if he ever seen, and he mentioned that he'd seen a UFO. I've seen unidentifying flying objects. I didn't know what they were in the sky. That doesn't mean that, as I mentioned before, that doesn't mean they were extraterrestrial. So crucify Dennis Kucinich in the press today. Ah, yes. I'll tell you, they're digging deep, aren't they? Get a guy that makes a little sense. And did you watch the debate last night? Did you? Oh, by the way, before I get into the debate, I see the Feds cut the rate 0.25% today. Yahoo! Oh, yeah, 0.25%, that's going to do me a lot of good. Will it do you a lot of good? I have a fixed rate mortgage. It isn't going to do me a lot of good. A quarter percent. I'm trying to think how that will benefit me today. How will that affect you? It will affect the fat cats on Wall Street. You can bet that. It'll affect all the people gambling on Wall Street and with their mutual funds and all that. Oh, that'll help. But to those of you that don't have a portfolio, those of you that don't have a bunch of investments, not going to mean anything, is it? No. It won't. But turning to the debate last night, I know a lot of you probably watched it. I haven't watched many of the debates in total, and I haven't watched any of them in their entirety until last night. And believe me, and I hate to admit this to you because, as you know, I'm a hardcore politico, and I should try and keep up on everything that goes on day in and day out with politics, and I do my very best to do that, but these debates are just painful. They are just painful. How I long for a real political debate. You know, one where an actual debate would take place, one where you're forced to answer the questions posed to you or have points deducted from your score and a winner declared. Kind of like when I was on the debating team in college. A debate where we could find out the true feelings of the candidates, where they had to throw around some real facts instead of bullshit. And we could find out their real feelings about real issues instead of political gotchas being the name of the game. I'd love to see that kind of debate instead of what we got last night. I watched it. It was painful, but I watched it. Obviously, Hillary was the top politician. She was the most evasive, and she ducked punches fairly effectively, except at the end, the ones about the license plates in New York City. I thought Edwards came on strong and did a fairly good job. Obama was Obama without passion and fight, I thought. I think his day is done. Dennis Kucinich had a couple of good lines and made sense all through the whole thing. And then they tried that little trick with him with that UFO. And they're going to do everything they can to beat him over the head with his answer on that. Dodd was very well spoken. I like the guy. But there's something about him that just screams career politician loud and clear. And I'm really tired of that. People that live their whole lives on the public dole. Their whole lives. I'm a little tired of that. And Joe Biden was, as usual, extremely well-spoken and made the most sense of all of them. But I don't think he gained anything on the leaders and will soon depart the race. It's a shame because a guy like Joe Biden could make a great president if he could ever leave some of his ego at home. I don't think anybody is probably better versed on foreign policy than Joe Biden is. And Richardson. As you know, I think Richardson is most likely the most well-qualified person to ever run for the presidency. But last night, he seemed to be very nervous. He was weak, and he was ineffective. And it's a shame, because the guy's brilliant. But I thought he totally bombed last night. He just bombed last night. But, you know, to get back to my original point, to call this thing a debate is just laughable. What we saw once again billed as a debate was nothing more than another piece of political theater. How many times did we hear the phrase, "But first, Tim, let me say a few words about this or that"? Did you ever notice how they answer questions? When they got one, he asked a decent question. When he did ask a decent question, him and Brian, which was very seldom last night, if they didn't want to answer it, but first, let me say a few words about what so-and-so said, or let me say a few words about that. In other words, I don't want to answer your question. How many times did we end up with no cogent answer at all to the questions put to them last night? It was nothing more than style points. You know, the press was trying to start a fight between Hillary and Obama, and it just didn't happen. And that was the build-up to the whole thing. They were going to provoke the two of them and get a real, you know, good old-fashioned Donnybrook going, but neither of them fell for it. Not really. You know, let's face it. The process that we're using to select our presidents is just plain pitiful. It's a political beauty contest, and it's a disgrace. And I was thinking about this last night as I was watching this whole thing, and I do believe this. I believe that if you gave Ron Popeil and Benny Hinn and Jolie Osteen enough money, you could get any of the three elected to the Oval Office because of the stupid way we conduct our elections. You could get anybody with enough money elected. If they're, you know, half decent looking and can speak, which those three guys can, they've proven that. Three better hucksters never lived than Ron Popeil, Benny Hinn, and Joel Osteen. Of course you could get them elected. And I'm sorry if I've offended. No, I'm not. I'm not sorry if I offended anybody with it. I don't like any of those three guys. They're hucksters, period. But I have to wonder how many potential great presidents we've passed up because of the way we run elections. So, you know, look at some of the clowns we've elected because they could raise the most money. Or because they were good-looking, or because they, you know, they were already well-known to the public and had a head start on the rest of the field. Like Ronald Reagan, for example. Like Ronald Reagan. And although I think he isn't a bad governor, could Arnold Schwarzenegger ever have been elected as the governor of California without his notoriety as an actor? Could he? No, certainly not. Why didn't we use at least one of these debates to have each candidate fully disclose where he or she got her money? Make them stand there and have to answer the question, where did you get your money? List all of the big business interests and special interest groups that donated money to your campaign right in front of the public on national TV. Have them say it, have them admit to it, and then follow up with questions about their positions on issues that might coincide with the money they've received. How about that? Would that separate the men from the boys and the ladies from the girls and all that sort of thing? Would it? You bet it would. I would love to know how many people on that stage last night, and I do know, and I would love to know how many people on the Republican stage have gotten money from the military-industrial complex, from the energy companies, from Big Pharma. Have them blurt it right out in public. How much have you gotten? And how have you voted when the time came in relation to the money you got from these special interests? That would be something that we should have on national TV. Wouldn't you keep them honest? Wouldn't it expose some of them as puppets for corporate America looking out for their own good instead of the good of America? What would be wrong with doing that? Really, what would be wrong with doing that? If they're honest, stand-up people, should they object to that? The answer is no. Hell no. Instead, we allow them to keep fairly silent about their donations to their campaign unless something really big shows up, like suitcases full of money from some Chinese guy somewhere. But, once again, I thought the so-called debate last night was just another yawner. It probably helped a few people make up their minds about which of the candidates to vote for in the primary elections. But if it did, that's a real shame, because there wasn't a damn thing said during that little stage play in Philadelphia that distinguished one of them from another, in my opinion. And once again, America is getting shafted. America is getting what it deserves because of their attitude toward these elections and their apathy towards the whole process. I just wish the American public would seriously think about what is about to happen in this upcoming general election. The Democrats are going to put up a candidate who may or may not be able to beat a Republican candidate who's a warmongering, testosterone-guided, egotistical, power-hungry madman. And they had better be able to beat him, or the entire world is going to suffer because we made the wrong decision, just as the entire world has suffered because of the idiotic choice that was made to put George Bush in office twice, even though he did steal the office. You know, on the world stage, more and more, the American people are looking like fools. We are. I just hope that we can recover from that. If we don't, we're in for a hell of a long ride, because sooner or later the money's going to run out and we have nothing but our honor. You know, when the money runs out, the military will run out, and then we're going to have to depend on whether or not the rest of the world thinks we're good and honorable people, and right now they don't. I don't know about you, but the people I've talked to from around the world have certainly changed their minds about the United States of America here in the last decade or so. I live in an area where there are lots and lots of people who visit from foreign countries. And I've always made it a point to ask them probing questions about their opinions of the United States and what we do and if we're honorable and if we're honest and you know, if we're a good citizen to the rest of the world. And up until the last few years, I always got positive comments, mostly positive comments. But lately, oh my God, what I am hearing from people from around the world. Many, many Europeans come in here. They think we're idiots. They absolutely think that we are political idiots. And let me tell you something. Lest you think that a lot of these people are uninformed and don't pay attention, there are a hell of a lot of Europeans that know more, especially more in-depth information about our political process than people right here in this country do. In fact, I'm almost inclined to believe, and I have nothing to back this up, but from the percentage of people that I talk to, I almost think that the larger percentage of Europeans know what goes on in this country, honestly and truly, about politics than do the Americans. And what a shame that is. What a lousy shame that is. That the people in this great country don't care enough to get involved And keep people like George Bush, for God's sake, people like George Bush and Dick Cheney and Donald Rumsfeld and that whole nasty, rotten cabal of people that took over Washington only, what, 7 years ago? You would think the American people would love their country enough, would care enough about their country, would care enough about their kids and their grandkids to make sure that people like this would never rise to power in this country. It embarrasses me. It makes me weep for this country when I think about how we've turned this country over to this gang of neocons that have had their way. They've had their way with the rest of the world. They're warmongers. And they've got another warmonger that's the leading candidate right now. If you think that Rudy Giuliani isn't Bush on steroids, you're crazy. It scares hell out of me that a guy like Rudy Giuliani might ascend to the presidency of the United States. And it ought to scare hell out of everybody, Democrat or Republican. The guy is in no way qualified to be the president of the United States. First of all, he does not have the experience to be the president of the United States. Secondly, he does not have the psyche. He does not have the personality. He does not have the decency to be the president of the United States. Who was it last night? I thought the best line of the night last night. I think it was Joe Biden. I think it said to Giuliani, he only ever says three things, a noun, a verb, and 9/11. And isn't that so true? Isn't it so true? But I watched that debate last night and I thought, my God. First of all, I want to blame some of it on the press. You know, I know everybody gets tired of this administration blaming everything on the press, but wasn't that a deplorable display last night by Russert and Williams? Just deplorable. Russert. Here's Russert out to do the gotcha thing. What the hell has that got to do whether or not a man, should be president of the United States? You know, do you remember back when he asked, Obama, in one of the debates earlier on, about what is his favorite Bible verse? What kind of a question is that to ask the guy what is your favorite Quran verse? What do you know about the seven steps to heaven? What do you know about any of this? What kind of a question is that to ask a guy who's running for political office? But they ask those kind of questions because they're the ones running the show and they want us to know it. Timmy and Brian last night wanted us all to know that they're the ones running the show. They weren't going to ask what the American public wants to know or should know or absolutely needs to know. Oh, no. They were going to play gotcha so they could get some ratings last night. As you can tell, I'm a bit worked up about it. Let's go to the phones. 866-546-5254. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hello, this is Monique from Phoenix.
Yes.
And I was just calling.
I was just in Phoenix over the weekend, yes.
Well, we're getting cooler weather.
Well, it wasn't bad when I was there. You know, I just as an aside, everybody, let's just have a private conversation here. Where I live, when it's 93, 94 degrees, you sweat. It was 93 or 94. I was sitting out by a swimming pool the other day up there, and it wasn't sweating at all. So I thought it was pretty comfy.
Well, we still would like to have a cooler.
Yeah, you'll get it.
Anyway, I'm going off a debate from last night, but I would like to let you know what happened to me last night. My internet has been really slow, and I have high-speed internet. So I called Cox, which is my provider, and I complained about it. So she said, oh, we'll take care of that. She said, just go type in NSA.gov. And that bothered me.
NSA.gov?
Yeah.
I wonder what that had to do with anything.
Well, that is the has to do with security.
Yeah.
Security.
Well, I know what that is, but why would they tell you that, I wonder?
Well, that was the only way I could get my speed up.
Oh.
And then she said, then type in one of the places, that you go and frequent. So I had to type that in. And she said, okay, it's taken care of.
Hmm.
But I also went, so I went on the NSA thing, and one of the places that I found was Axiom, a place that I have been trying to study, because we have an Axiom building in this city, which is gated, fenced, and you can't go near the place. And let me see. They had Verizon on there. They had a lot of spy places on there. Oh, the Sheriff Association was connected to their group.
Oh, you got that wild sheriff out there, and what is it, Pinell County?
No, Maricopa.
Maricopa's got the okay.
Sheriff Arpaio.
Sheriff Arpaio. Oh, what a piece of work he is.
And you don't say anything against him because he will come and get you.
I think he's a kook. Come and get me, Joe. I think you're a kook. Now, I didn't say anything while I was out there, but now I'm outside of his grasp. You know, every day the guy's name comes up in the newspaper out there. I was reading a story. He's got a little tiff going on with the attorney general and all that. Every day he's a headlines monger.
Oh, but you know, this is kind of scary stuff.
Yes, it is.
If I have to increase the speed of my internet because I need to go to NSA.gov.
Yeah, it's pretty strange. Not being a techie, I'm afraid I don't understand that one at all. It doesn't compute with me. We'll have to see what we can find out about that.
Well, I'm a friend of Sarge's. I'm a good friend of Sarge's.
Mm-hmm.
You know Sarge.
Sure.
And he's the one that told me, you need to say something about this.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we'll see if we can find out something about it. Hey, thanks, Monique. Good to hear from you.
Okay, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Ah, yeah. Here we are. It's Halloween. Don't forget. That might have something to do with it. Hey, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back in just a moment or two.
From his slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise,
he did the mash.
He did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
He did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
He did the mash.
He did the monster mash. From my laboratory in the castle east to the master bedroom where the vampires feast, the ghouls all came from their humble abode to get a jolt from my electrode.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
They did the mash.
It caught on in a flash.
They did the mash.
They did the monster mash. The zombies were having fun. The party had just begun. The guest included Wolfman, Dracula, and his son. The scene was rocking, all were digging the sounds. Igor on chains, backed by his baying hounds. The coffin bangers were about to arrive at their vocal group, the Crypt Kicker Five.
They played the mash.
They played the monster mash.
The monster mash.
It was a graveyard smash.
They played the mash.
It got on in a flash.
They played the mash.
They played the monster mash.
Oh.
Out from his coffin, Rex's voice did ring.
Oh.
seemed she was troubled by just one thing. Opened the lid and shook his fist and said, whatever happened to my Transylvania twist?
It's now the mash.
It's now the monster mash.
The monster mash.
And it's a graveyard smash.
It's now the mash.
It's hot on and a flash.
It's now the mash.
It's now the monster mash. Now everything's cool, Rat's a part of the band. And my monster mash is the hit of the land. For you, the living, this mash was meant to. When you get to my door, tell them what it sent you.
Then you can mash.
Then you can monster mash.
The monster mash.
And do my graveyard smash.
Then you can mash.
You'll catch on in a flash.
Then you can mash.
Then you can monster mash.
If you don't clean up your room, the Board of Health is going to condemn it.
The Board of Health doesn't even know about your room. What's more, they don't care.
You know, if you keep making that face, it's going to freeze that way.
Not unless you're someplace really, really cold. Actually, a lot of the warnings moms hand out are a bit exaggerated.
If you don't get your blood pressure checked, you could have high blood pressure, not even know it, and you could die from a stroke.
But she's right about that one. Fact is, high blood pressure contributes to 200,000 American deaths each year, and a third of those who have high blood pressure don't know it. If they did, it'd be simple to treat. Call the American Heart Association at 1-800-AHA-USA1 or visit AmericanHeart.org on the web to learn more. Better still, ask your doctor to check your blood pressure.
If you run without scissors,
it's the least you can do.
Hey, we're back with the Guy James Show. Off to a little slow start today, but we're rolling now, and we're awfully glad to have each and every one of you along with us. Been talking about the debate last night. I watched the whole thing from start to finish. I'm kind of sorry I did. In one way, I'm not. I can talk about it today and kind of know what I'm talking about, but oh, God, I'm bored by these debates. I really am. First of all, there's too many people up there to get any comprehensive answers from anybody. Too many soundbite type things. Too many people just trying to, do a little shaking and baking and all that sort of thing, if you know what I mean, politically. But I get so tired of the press. We were talking about, before we went away to the break, we were talking about the press and the lousy, terrible job that they do on these debates. It's their moment to shine, their moment to be the big heroes up here and pull a gotcha on one of these guys or, ask the question. But it's just once. You know, if it were me and Russert ask another stupid question about UFOs or your favorite Bible verse or these aren't the kind of questions that we need to know about a candidate. We really need to know what he would actually do in office. That's right. We don't need to know if he's really clever and able to take a moderator to the woodshed, for turning the tables on him. We don't need to know that. Just once, I'd like to see one of these guys. I'd like to see a Dennis Kucinich or any of them. When asked a stupid question like that, say, hey, Tim, I don't want to dignify that. It's a stupid question, Tim. You know it. I know it. The American public knows it. I'm not gonna play your silly game and ask your stupid. Do you think the candidate would come off looking bad if he did that? I don't. I think if I for one and other people I know would stand up and applaud in their living rooms if they saw these guys turning the tables on a Russert or a Williams or any of these guys that ask these idiotic questions, a Chris Matthews, and just turn it around on them, say, you're a hack. That's not a journalistic question. It's not something the public wants to hear or needs to hear. Ask me something with some substance to it. Don't ask me things that won't help the electorate make a decision. Don't ask me things that make me look dumb and everybody look dumb for just even listening to this whole thing. Ask me something that matters. Is this the best you can do? I think for once it would be a great thing if these guys just turned the tables on these boys. But I don't know. I watched that whole thing last night, and once again I was very, very disappointed with it. Didn't like what I heard at all. Dennis Kucinich, you know, they tried to make him look like a buffoon, and which is more reasonable, that Dennis Kucinich believes he saw a UFO or that, staying in Iraq with Blackwater and our military is in the best interest. You know, which one of those is the craziest sounding thing, huh? I know what I think. I think Dennis made a little bit of a mistake. He went off on nuclear power last night, saying that it's unsustainable and not an option. And I know how Dennis feels about the future of fossil fuels and all. But does that mean, Dennis? And I'll ask him this. I really will ask him this. If he becomes president, does that mean your options to stay warm in the winter boil down to using your solar power panel on the 3 days in the winter that the sun's out? Come on, Dennis. I know you can do better than that. I know you can. 866-546-5254. We're going to pause for news at the top of the hour. It's so good to be back with you. We welcome your calls. Again, you can call us at 941-876-6896 on your unlimited calling plan. Thanks to Billy Shears, music director here at the Guy James Show. And we're going to pause for news at the top of the hour. And we'll be back right after that here on the Head On Radio Network.
This is the Quality News Network. In Spain, verdicts were handed down for the 28 defendants in the Madrid train bombings. A Spanish court delivered mixed verdicts, convicting three of mass murder but delivering lesser convictions against others. 191 people were killed and more than 1,800 injured in the 2004 bombings. Tropical Storm Noel moved across the Dominican Republic and Haiti, causing mudslides and flooding, killing at least 48 people. Noel is now in open water, heading north-northeast towards the Bahamas. Forecasters at this point say the storm will not reach hurricane status. In southern Russia, 8 people were killed and more than 40 injured when a bomb detonated on a bus full of morning commuters. Investigators say the bombing was most likely an act of terrorism. The Turkish Prime Minister says stepped-up military action against Kurdish separatists in Iraq is unavoidable. Ankara has called on Washington to pressure Iraq for action against the Kurdish rebels as the Turkish military continues airstrikes against militant outposts. The U.S. economy, burdened by slumping housing market and credit concerns, showed strength despite dire predictions. According to a government third-quarter report, the U.S. economy is strong and could reduce the need to cut interest rates. The Fed concludes a two-day meeting on rates later this afternoon. The world's largest maker of telecommunications equipment, Alcatel-Lucent, said lower revenues and profits have forced it to cut employee roles by 4,000 workers. The layoffs will be completed next year. In Myanmar, the country formerly known as Burma, Buddhist monks took to the streets again for the first time since soldiers squashed pro-democracy demonstrations last month. The monks chanted and prayed through the streets, highlighting their demands for national reconciliation and the release of all political prisoners. A meeting in London of the Security Council and Germany is scheduled. The agenda increased sanctions against Iran for its continued refusal to abandon its uranium enrichment program. In Southern California, authorities say one of last week's wildfires was ignited by a boy playing with matches. The buckwheat fire, one of two dozen that burned Southern California, began in the Santa Clarita area, destroying 2,300 buildings. The boy, whose name and age have not been released, admitted to accidentally starting the fire. In Northern California, a 5.6 earthquake with an epicenter near San Jose struck last night. There were no reports of serious injuries or damages. An actor-singer, Robert Goulet, died in Los Angeles. He was 73 years old. You're listening to the Quality News Network.
Divorce is never a pleasant experience, but it doesn't have to be a tragedy. If you can rein in the emotions, step back from the anger and the victimhood, you can end your marriage with dignity instead of rancor. You got married with the best of intentions. Now you need to untie the marital knot with the same mutual respect. Choose collaboration instead of confrontation. Stop wasting money on lawyers. Don't drag this out for 5 years. A collaborative divorce is better for the children, family, and friends. Collaboration costs a fraction of a contended divorce and can be done within weeks rather than months or years. An award-winning documentary called Divorce Collaborative Style explains how you can end your marriage fairly and efficiently. For less than what a lawyer charges to answer one simple question, you can get all the answers from Divorce Collaborative Style. Go to collaborativedivorce.tv and order your DVD today. If it's over, end it right. collaborativedivorce.tv.
President Bush has says he will veto any legislation which uses an increase in tobacco tax to pay for an expansion of the Children's Health Insurance Program. Congress has proposed a 61 cents tax added to packs of cigarettes to pay for the $35 billion increase to the SCHIP program. Another problem for the solar power system at the International Space Station. NASA says a massive solar wing ripped open during installation. December's space shuttle launch may be postponed. The National Cancer Institute says research demonstrates no proof vitamin D helps prevent cancer. The landmark study, however, does indicate the vitamin lowers the fatality rate in cases of colon cancer. Wholesale drug manufacturer McKesson beat Wall Street expectations by posting an 8% increase in quarterly profit. The company credited strong demand for a higher margin generic pharmaceuticals. Goodyear announced its quarterly profit more than tripled. The nation's largest tire manufacturer has concentrated recently on producing high-end tires. TRW Automotive also announced higher quarterly profits on a net income of $23 million. The company benefited from increased sales of safety products such as vehicle airbags. Light sweet crude is trading at $93.68 a barrel. Gold is currently trading at $793.80 an ounce. And on Wall Street, the Dow Jones is up 74 points. The NASDAQ is up 19 points. There's more at our website, qualitynewsnetwork.com. I'm Jay Gallet.
James Show is on in less than 1 minute.
Life! Life, you hear me? Give my creation life!
So this was fun.
You're gonna like this.
Let go!
Right now!
Well, this is it.
Let's get this over with.
So this is good. We got progress.
Are there any questions before we proceed?
Get countdown. 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
You have entered the restricted broadcast area. You have entered the restricted broadcast area.
What your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
I have a dream.
This is the Guy James Show.
The world is getting older. There's a few things to be said. Do you believe the things they told you? Do you believe the things you read?
The Guy James Show, America's number one Democratic talk show. You've heard from the radical right. Now, all that's left is the truth. And now here's Guy James.
Hello, and welcome back to the Guy James Show. A few tidbits of actual news there today. What do you think? Gold's almost $800 an ounce. $800 an ounce almost. Knocking at the door. We've got oil knocking at the door of $100 a barrel. That's just great news for you and me, isn't it? Of course, the higher gold goes, that means the closer recession is. And I don't own a lot of gold, do you? Mm-mm. And I don't have any oil wells in the backyard. All I know is that's going to make my expenditures higher. And I know it will for you as well. Folks, we got some tough times coming economically. We do. But Yahoo, we got the interest rate cut by 0.25% today. I don't know about you, but I'm really excited about that. That makes my day. It absolutely makes my day. Oh, my tongue firmly in cheek. We've been talking about the debate today. We invite you to call us at 866-546-5254 if you've got something to say about the debates last night, your feelings on it. You know, I mentioned earlier that I like Chris Dodd. I do like Chris Dodd. I've met Chris Dodd, at least twice. Very personable man, and I feel that he's a good senator, but he's a lifelong politician. His father was a lifelong politician, and I'm not crazy about that. And we've got this McCasey confirmation going on right now, the attorney general nominee. And it started out that the Democrats were going to just lay down and nominate this guy. I still believe they will. I hope I'm proven wrong. I hope you can all call me next week and say, hey, see, you're an idiot. You didn't know what you're talking about. The Democrats fought tooth and nail, and they're not going to put McCasey in. They're not going to, you know, I hope you're able to say that to me. But I believe they'll lay down for him. I really do. But here's a guy that is willing, and he has stated so, that he's willing to let the President of the United States circumvent the Constitution of the United States and the laws if the President were some sort of king. I got news for you, Mr. McCasey. I have news for you. The President of the United States is not a king. The law is the king. The Constitution is the king in this country, not some yokel in the Oval Office. And yet, you have stated publicly in open hearings that, well, you know, if the guy, if he's going to circumvent the Constitution or the law, you know, it's okay. It's okay, especially if he does it to preserve, protect, and defend, you know, and to defend us. If we're in some sort of a war crisis and he has to torture a few people and waterboard. Waterboard, did you say? I'm not sure I know what waterboarding is. I mean, we actually had a nominee for the Attorney Generalship of the United States stand before the United in the Capitol building at a hearing and say he didn't know for sure what waterboarding was. I know. I think you know. But here's a guy that can't decide. He doesn't even know what it is, let him doesn't really know if it's torture. And so, by giving this kind of, I mean, when are the Democrats going to wise up and know that these kind of answers means that when he gets in and when they do confirm him and he gets in, that he'll close his eyes just like Gonzalez did and let Bush do anything he damn well pleases? When are the Democrats going to realize that is exactly what will happen again? We knew it would happen with Gonzalez. We predicted it. And it did happen. We knew what would happen with a couple of these Supreme Court nominees, and it has happened. And we know what will happen with McCasey. And yet they're going to lay down for him. You know they will. You know they will. Oh, how I hope I'm wrong on that. You know, Harry Reid. Oh, Harry. Harry, Harry, Harry. You know, we had Nancy get up and give this tough speech yesterday. After she gave the little talk on toys. I mean, don't get me wrong. I know the lead and the toys and all that is important. It is. But we've got a war going on, for God's sake. We've got a financial crisis going on in this country. We've got an oil crisis going on in this country. We've got many crises. We've got prescription medicine. We've got all these things going on. We've got Nancy out giving a speech about toys yesterday. And all this tough talk, well, the president this and the president that, and yada, yada, yada. And Harry Reid does it all the time, too. He stands up and he talks really tough. You know, over at Congressional Quarterly, Bart Jansen wrote a little article today. And let me just read it to you. I know a lot of you probably don't read Congressional Quarterly all the time. But it's a great publication, by the way. But it's a bad Senate. So bad, in fact, that Majority Leader Harry Reid has repeatedly threatened this year to keep the chamber in session through weekends in order to get more work done. And by the way, as an aside, this is away from the quote. Did you hear that Steny Hoyer said the Democrats are going to go back on their promise starting in January? You know, they promised to work 5 days a week. Well, It seems they're not going to be able to do that anymore. It seems they want the people to spend more time back home and with their families. And so they're going to go back to their old ways after promising their constituency that they were going to work a five-day week. And everybody said, Yahoo, we'll vote for these guys because they intended to sit, you know, get down to business. Sooner or later, they always go back to their old ways, don't they? Democrat or Republican. Freeloaders. So we got Harry Reid, back to the story here from Bart Jansen on Congressional Quarterly. We got Harry Reid giving all these threats. He's going to make them work through the weekend, blah, 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 blah. And he's given all these threats. He's only delivered on one of them back on February 17th to address the troop surge in Iraq, Senate Bill 574. Which may explain why senators all but ignored him on Tuesday when he warned of a possible November 3rd session to deal with the retooled CHIPS health insurance bill, H.R. 3963. The warning marked at least the 12th time since January 16th that Reid, Democrat of Nevada, has threatened weekend sessions. Threatened is the word there. In June, immigration and defense authorizations were the culprits. In July, it was September 11th commission legislation. And over the past 2 months, Reid has warned several times that the slow pace of work on spending bills might require weekend votes. No wonder he's frustrated. After failing to get cloture October 24th on an immigration bill, the Senate spent 5 hours on routine speeches and quorum calls before turning to the Amtrak reauthorization. Lawmakers lost more than 3 hours October 25th waiting for a voice vote to extend a moratorium on the internet taxes. Minority Leader Mitch McConnell complained again Tuesday that Congress had cleared none of the dozen annual spending bills, even though the fiscal year started 5 weeks ago. But Democrats blamed part of the problem on Republicans, whom they accused of dragging their feet through filibusters, many dealing with Iraq war policy. Well, sticks and stones, Harry. Sticks and stones, man. You can threaten all you want to. It doesn't do any good. It hasn't done any good. It never will do any good. There's only one thing to do, Harry. Only one thing to do. Be a man and follow up on your threats. Follow up. You know, we got them now telling, you know, we've got Waxman saying, well, you know, we want all the notes, you know, that they've been requesting. They're not going to get them. They're just not going to get them. Why aren't they going to get them? Because they haven't followed up on anything. And they're not going to follow up on anything. When are people going to get that through their heads? They're not going to follow up on anything. I don't know. It's a sorry mess, and I don't feel very good about this whole thing. I think our Democrats have let us down. You know, just like this work week thing I was talking about. They promised they would work 5 days a week. They didn't say, we'll do it for a few months and then quit. No, they made a promise to the people of the United States that they were going to put in an honest week's work. And for what they get paid, by God, I believe they could do it. And with the perks they get, I believe they could do it. But no, they need more time home with the family. You know, I read someplace over the weekend, Deborah Price, a Republican from Columbus, Ohio. She is a Republican, and she's a hardcore Republican at that, but she's getting out of the House of Representatives. She's going to retire. She's been in a long time, and she makes perfect sense. I wrote down this quote from her but it, because it absolutely makes perfect sense, even though it's coming from a Republican. She said, and I quote, "I don't think anything will change until Americans revolt and get it into their heads that they need to be informed voters instead of just listening to the paid political ads." End quote. Deborah Price, Republican representative from Ohio. She's absolutely right. Are the American people just plain stupid? You know, I'd rather think that we're not. But are we just plain stupid? Are we that easily manipulated? You know, you stop and look back at this war in Iraq, and I know we've blamed, and rightly so, blamed the Bush administration for ginning this whole thing up. But if you remember that though you and I, we those of us on the liberal side of the coin, opposed this war from the get-go and had all the evidence we needed to make an informed decision that it shouldn't happen, that Saddam Hussein did not have weapons of mass destruction, that he was not a threat to the rest of the countries around him, that he was a toothless tiger, and he was no threat to us, and he was no threat to Israel. We knew that. Those of us with the liberal bent knew that, and we accepted that as the truth. Turns out it was true, right? But if you'll remember, the polls at the time, the American public on the whole, approved of going into Iraq. Yes, they did. So my point is that, you know, had the decision, and we've got this thing right now, they're talking about the majority of the people of the United States would go to war with Iran if they become a nuclear power. The point is that had the decision rested with the people, right now with Iran, and if it had rested with the people instead of Bush at the start of the Iraq conflict, we'd have gone to war in both cases anyway. Yes, we would have. So I guess the question is, how smart are the American people? I do worry. I do worry that the American people aren't near as smart as they used to be. Talking about bobbing and weaving last night, how about Hillary Clinton in this little gem?
Senator Clinton, Governor of New York Eliot Spitzer has proposed giving driver's licenses to illegal immigrants. You told the National New Hampshire editorial board it makes a lot of sense. Why does it make a lot of sense to give an illegal immigrant a driver's license?
Well, what Governor Spitzer is trying to do is fill the vacuum left by the failure of this administration to bring about comprehensive immigration reform. We know in New York we have several million at any one time who are in New York illegally. They are undocumented workers. They are driving on our roads. The possibility of them having an accident that harms themselves or others is just a matter of the odds. It's probability. So what Governor Spitzer is trying to do is to fill the vacuum. I believe we need to get back to comprehensive immigration reform because no state, no matter how well-intentioned, can fill this gap. There needs to be federal action on immigration reform.
Does anyone here believe an illegal immigrant should not have a driver's license?
Believe what?
An illegal immigrant should not have a driver's license.
This is a privilege. And look, I'm as forthright and progressive on immigration policy as anyone here. But we're dealing with a serious problem here. We need to have people come forward. The idea that we're going to extend this privilege here of a driver's license, I think, is troublesome. And I think the American people are reacting to it. We need to deal with security on our borders. We need to deal with the attraction that draws people here. We need to deal fairly with those who are here. But this is a privilege. Talk about health care, I have a different opinion. That affects the public health of all of us. But a license is a privilege, and that ought not to be extended, in my view.
Well, Senator, I just want to add, I did not say that it should be done, but I certainly recognize why Governor Spitzer is trying to do it,
we have failed. No. You said yes.
No.
You thought it made sense to do it.
No, I didn't, Chris. But the point is, what are we going to do with all these illegal immigrants who are driving?
That's a legitimate issue, but driver's license goes too far.
Well, you may say that, but what is the identification? If somebody runs into you today who is an undocumented worker...
There's ways of dealing with that.
Well,
this is a privilege, not a right.
Well, what Governor Spitzer has agreed to do is to have three different licenses, one that provides identification for actually... going on to airplanes and other kinds of security issues, another which is an ordinary driver's license, and then a special card that identifies the people who would be on the road. So it's not the full privilege.
Senator Clinton, I just want to make sure what I heard. Do you, the New York Senator, Hillary Clinton, support the New York governor's plan to give illegal immigrants a driver's license? You told the National New Hampshire paper it made a lot of sense. Do you support his plan?
You know, Tim, this is where everybody plays gotcha. It makes a lot of sense. What is the governor supposed to do? He is dealing with a serious problem. We have failed, and George Bush has failed. Do I think this is the best thing for any governor to do? No. But do I understand the sense of real desperation trying to get a handle on this? Remember, in New York, we want to know who's in New York. We want people to come out of the shadows. He's making an honest effort to do it. We should have passed immigration reform.
So I'm for it, but I'm not going to back it, but I might be for it because I know it's a problem, but it's something I'm not going to stand here and say that I'm completely for it, but I am. But God, is it any wonder? Is it any wonder people turn off politics when they hear that sort of thing? We're going to head over to the telephones. Hi, you're on the Guy James Show.
Hi, Guy. This is Phil up in Daytona Beach. How you doing?
Hi, Phil.
Today? I'm glad you're covering this. I can't say strongly enough, people, look who is behind these front runners of the Democratic Party front runners, Clinton, Obama, Edwards. Damn it, they're all in on this massive sell-off and sell-out of America. Hillary Clinton, it's been determined that the torch was going to be passed to her. I haven't checked this guy, but I have heard that Roger Ailes, you know, Fox News, the guy who's the mastermind of Fox News, has been part of the support for Hillary Clinton, and that Rupert Murdoch has been involved in fundraising for Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton is part of this elite that's owned, man. And damn it, just because these people are Democrats, the party has been stolen. These people are not what you think they are. And they're owned by the corporations, this military-industrial complex that's selling out immigration. I mean, if these people, there's already tons of laws on immigration. The corporations want cheap labor. They want this North American Union. And if people don't know what the North American Union is, there was a document called the Security and Prosperity Partnership that Bush signed with Fox and what's-his-name from Canada in 2005, and they've been meeting ever since. This is giving away the country's sovereignty, man. There's already tons of Mexican trucks riding around highways in this country. They're building this NAFTA superhighway through Texas up to Canada. They had the North American Union meeting up in Canada this past summer, you know, or last month.
They haven't done any construction on it or anything like that. They haven't.
It's already construction being done in Texas on I-35, Guy. It's already in the deal. Giuliani's he's a partner in a law firm that's selling some of these roadways to Spain, a corporate multinational corporations. People gotta wake up to what's happening.
Okay, Phil. Practically speaking,
yes.
And let's be very practical here. We know that on the Republican side, there's only two or three people that have a chance of getting elected. And we know on the Democratic side, there's two, maybe three, maybe even four people that have any chance of getting elected whatsoever. We know that.
Yes.
What do you do?
Well, actually, I read a quote this morning, and I wish I had written it down. Something Debs or Ebs said, I'd rather vote for somebody that I want that'll do the right thing and not have them win, then vote for somebody that I don't want for what they're going to do.
Yeah, and I'm a guy that'll cut off my nose to spite my face. And I have. People who know me would tell you that I like Pepsi Cola. I have not drank a Pepsi-Cola in nearly 40 years, and I will never drink another Pepsi-Cola, and that's a long story. I won't go into it.
Yeah.
But I like it. And I've probably at times wanted a Pepsi when nothing else was available, but I still wouldn't do it. And I wonder who's won out on that thing, me or Pepsi-Cola. I think they've ended up it. But practically speaking,
yes.
What do we do? I mean, I know we can vote for Dennis. I know you can vote. Huh?
I think we need to be telling more, doing more.
No, I'm talking about practical here, Phil.
Yes.
Practical. I know what your heart is saying, and I know what my heart is saying, but our brains know differently.
Well, I think our actions are if anything's going to change anything, if nothing changes, Guy, nothing changes, you know, and our actions have to start. Somebody's, you know, the dance floor is empty, man. One couple's got to get up there first, and the other couples will follow. I mean, Guy, this isn't Democrat Republican like it used to be, man. This is an elite. This is a sellout and sell off of our country, man. And Hillary Clinton will continue this imperial war making. Will continue to leave the borders open. This driver's license thing. They're giving credit cards to down here in Florida and elsewhere around the country. Illegals are able to. Bank of America has given credit cards to these folks.
But we've got a year until the next election, and to be practical.
No, I think we got a year to make a change, man, and not go along with it. You know, when I find the quote, I'll email it.
Yeah,
to you.
I know what you're talking about, but I'm just you know, I think about this all the time too. And I think we've got a year. We're not gonna find some savior out there amongst the populace of this country to come in and save us politically in a year.
Well, there is one candidate who's running as a Democrat, Kucinich, who is not going to go for this bullshit.
You know that, and I know that, but the thing is, does Dennis have any chance of getting elected?
He has no chance as long as we continue to say he has no chance, Guy.
Well, doesn't matter what you and I say. There's a 102 million voters, or however many it was last time, 50 on each side about. We have to convince them, and as long as we don't have a machine
to
do it.
Convincing them, Guy. Did you know that out of the how many are running between the Republicans and Democrats? There's three of them that are not members of the Council on Foreign Relations. And how many of your listeners today even know what the Council on Foreign Relations is?
Not very many.
Do you see what I mean, Guy? We you know, Hillary is. It's been decided. She was at Bilderberg this past summer.
Oh, she will be the president. I mean,
that's
she,
what I mean,
she will be
the president.
People
don't even know about this ruling elite. They don't know about the Trilateral Commission, the Bilderberg Group. They don't know that some may know there is somebody calling the shots on the government, but, you know, as long as it remains a mystery and vague, we can't do anything about it. We got to expose Hillary Clinton to save our
children. Do we expose Hillary Clinton and elect a Republican?
That's the quandary.
That's the quandary we've got here.
No, we've got to expose the criminals, regardless of what party they're in.
Yeah, but let me just I'm playing devil's advocate here. So we expose Hillary Clinton for being in this and that and the other thing, and we don't agree with a lot of things that Hillary Clinton does. But do we do that and allow a Republican to take over the White House?
Well, a Republican's not going to take over the White House. It's a sham. We've got to expose these people that are hurting us and will hurt us even more. They will get Hillary flat out saying she's going to keep the military occupation going, and she's on board for expanding it into
At the very least, and I agree with you on much of this, at least she's saying she'd like to draw it down and she'd like to put a timetable on it. Do you think Rudy Giuliani wants to do that?
doesn't matter what they're saying, Guy. They're on board with the plan, is what I'm saying. They're owned. They're owned by the planners, and we've got to get truth out, Guy. No, wherever the truth leads us, because this ID card with Spitzer is part of the whole plan, you know, and they'll get it going in New York, and then other states will follow. And the daggone people in the Democratic Party that just follow orders from above, the same way the know nothing, you know, the no thinkers in the Republican Party. It's the same daggone thing. We have a responsibility as Americans to pay attention, and when we see something wrong, to you know, speak up about it and tell our fellows. This is, I mean, all these soldiers that fought and died in wars for our freedoms. What are our freedoms? Our freedoms are in the Constitution. What does the Constitution ensure us? It ensures us self-governance. It ensures us a servant government, and that's on us to make sure we keep that. And I say for every one of us who is not doing their civic duty in spotting this stuff, talking about it, and making an active effort to not part, you know, to not be a part of it, but to counter it, is a slap in the face to those who came before.
Well, I guess my point is we're losing ground. And when we're losing it fast, and the question is what to do about it. We have no media machine to speak of at all.
No,
and we're not gaining one. And
no, when you say we, who do you mean, God?
I mean the people on the left, and I am an avowed leftist without any question. I have nothing to do with anything to the right of center. I have nothing to do with that.
Right, but what I'm saying is, you know,
and I am a Democrat. I am a Democrat. I will always be a Democrat, and I will try and bring the Democratic Party back to what it should be, not what it is. But the point is, we're losing ground.
Now, when you say we, do you mean those of us as people with these principles, or do you
absolutely
mean the Democratic Party?
No, those with people with principles are losing ground, and we're losing ground every day.
Too many people don't even realize that they should be individuals first and doing what you're talking about, when this political party that they belong to, the Democratic Party, is not doing what they want. They these people in the Democratic clubs, they take orders, they take marching orders. We're supposed to be given the party our marching orders, like you understand that, Guy, and you speak up when the party's getting off track and not serving the people but selling out to the corporations. But there's too many of us that are in our circles that don't get that, you know? Like this last weekend with the Florida convention in Orlando, you know, Bill Nelson walked in. I wasn't there, but some good friends of mine were. And Bill Nelson walks in, and they give him a blind standing ovation. I mean, this guy should be...
He hasn't stuck with the principles of the Democratic Party whatsoever, and many of our Democrats have not.
He should be tossed out on his ass.
Well, he's in a Republican state. That's.
But that's what I mean. We've got to hold everybody to our principles, regardless of whatever party they're in. Otherwise, we are going to continue. When I say we, I mean the American people are going to continue to lose our liberties.
Well, the thing is, we're faced with a real quandary here, because if we ruin the Democratic candidates, whoever it may be, and allow a madman like Rudy Giuliani or a Romney to become the president of the United States, what have we accomplished? I just don't know where the answer is there.
Well, I think, Guy, that we are not letting a Democrat or a Republican. What we are letting in is they're both the same. This particular, the people that you mentioned are corporatists. They're part of this thing, that they're part of the people who are behind this North American Union. That, you know, they're finally starting to, you know, you're starting to hear in the media about the Amaro, you know, that's how we've gotten to this point, is incrementally, and the American people continue to accept each increment, you know, saying, well, it could be worse, you know what I mean? Well, guess what? Every time we say it can be worse, it gets that particular increment worse, and then we move on to the next increment of getting worse. We have to stop this behavior and say no, and we, you know, expose Giuliani and Romney as well. They're all part of this.
Again, I go back to, practically speaking, we've got a year. And can we accomplish this in a year? Can we bring somebody to the White House in a year? Of course, bringing somebody to the White House certainly won't do all the job we need done. We need the House and the Senate cleaned out as well. But we've got a year till this next election, and it's a real quandary as to what to do. I mean,
Get behind Kucinich. The guy's ready. He's got legislation calling for the impeachment of these criminals, which is the required action once all these impeachable crimes became public knowledge, and the Congress knew of it. The next step was supposed to be impeachment, and Kucinich is the only one doing what he's not doing anything heroic or brave or outrageous. He's doing what standard operating procedure should be for this constitutional republic of ours. The guy's, he's the only one doing his job. He's not a corporate whore. He's not a member of the Council on Foreign Relations like Hillary Clinton, Obama, Richardson, Edwards, all of these guys, and all of the Republicans except Ron Paul are members. And they're all signed on to this sellout of America. As we speak, we're losing our sovereignty. Highways are being sold off to multinational corporations. Water systems, public water systems, are being privatized and sold off. People, wake the heck up.
And if we leave it up to Ron Paul, we'll deport every Mexican out of this country and ship him back to Mexico. He's an avowed racist. So what do we do?
Well, let's.
He's as much a racist. He's as much a racist as anybody who's ever lived in this country. And he's the guy carrying the flag for the Republicans, for the moderates. I mean, I don't know where we go. I'm sick to death of this whole thing.
Get behind Kucinich then, because Hillary Clinton, they're all the same. They just said, okay, you guys wear the red shirts and you guys wear the blue shirts. The game is rigged. They all go back to the same headquarters, though. You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean, but I know we're going to be faced with a choice come next November. Do we vote for worse or as they say, worser? And we're going to have another one of those. Going to have another one of those choices.
Well, let's get Kucinich as the choice then. You know, and as long as we say he's got no chance, he's got no chance. But if we took a survey of your listeners today, and let's say you took 100, you surveyed 100 listeners, and 50 were for Kucinich, and the other, you know, 30 were for Obama, and 20 were for whatever, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. The others, we could actually work on those people. You know, within our own ranks is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know, and point out the differences. I mean, people, I bet you there's listeners today who didn't even know that all these Democratic candidates, except for Gravel and Kucinich, are members of the Council on Foreign Relations. And then they say, and then they won't even know what the Council on Foreign Relations is, let alone their influence on our foreign policy, on our, you know, the privatization of this country, on what they're doing financially to the dollar. you know, in trade, the whole thing with the North American Union, jobs, off, you know, shipping the jobs overseas, making these corporations free from not only tax but prosecutions, and, you know, find out about the Council on Foreign Relations, people. Find out about AIPAC and AIPAC's influence on our foreign policy. See who's funding Hillary Clinton and Obama and John Edwards. Why is the media giving them so much attention? Who owns the media? That should tell you something right there.
Well, we had a story over the weekend. I'm sure some of you've heard of it, about the Israelis wanting to cut power to Gaza. And they want to cut off their oil, and they want to cut off their electricity. And it's not a humanitarian thing to do, and it's a terrible thing to do. And yet they want to do it. In fact, the Attorney General in Israel has ruled that it is wrong and they should not do it. But the whole story on cutting power off to Gaza, which is a big story,
yeah,
on humanitarian grounds, came from Germany's Spiegel Online. One little story in the Associated Press in this country about that story. One little story, and I'll give you three guesses as to why. So, you know, that's...
Exactly! Yeah. So, people, this lesser of evils, don't keep playing this game that's dictated to us. We have to break out of it, or we're going to keep our country's going to keep going in the direction this, you know, a Democrat, these people are chosen by the elite. The Democrat will run for 8 years, you know, and they fool the people on the left, right? You think NAFTA was a good thing for the working man guy?
Nope.
In this country?
No, it wasn't.
You know,
a mistake.
I mean, and it wasn't a mistake. It was not a mistake. This stuff is deliberate. Iraq is deliberate. The immigration policies are deliberate. This is all thought out by the people that are influencing our politicians. And politicians, that's a key word, influence.
Yep.
We have 300 million people, and we can counter that influence with people power if we only used and exercised the power. Politicians will move with whatever influences them the most.
Hey, Phil, got to run.
Yeah.
Thanks for
Thanks,
your call.
Guy.
Good to hear
Thank
from you.
You. Okay.
We'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
If my words did glow with the gold of sunshine, and my tunes were played on the harp unstrung, would you hear my voice come through the music? Would you hold it near as it were your own? It's a hand-me-down. The thoughts are broken. Perhaps they're better left unsung. I don't know. Don't really care. Let there be songs to fill the air. Rippled in still water, when there is no pebble tossed, nor wind to blow, reach out your hand. If your cup be empty, if your cup is full, may it be again. Let it be known, there is a fountain that was not made by the hands of men. There is a road, no simple highway, between the dawn and the dark of night. And if you go, no one may follow. That path is for your steps alone. Ripple in still water, when there is no pebble tossed, no wind to blow. You choose to lead, must follow. But if you fall, you fall alone. If you should stand, then who's to guide you? If I knew the way, I would take you home. La da da da.
With you here on the Guy James Show. You know, we're having a little discussion on the chat room who we think the Republican nominee will be, and I'll tell you, I'm just as sure as I can be that it's going to be Giuliani, and let me tell you why. The guy gets up in front of the people, and think of the mindset of those on the right, those that went along with Bush on the war, those that still go along with Bush on the war, those that want to go into Iran. Rudy Giuliani wants to go into Iran so bad he can taste it. I'm Rudy Giuliani. 9/11. I'm an expert on terrorism. I've got all these years' experience. I look what I did for New York, and by God, I'll be tough. I'll show those raghead Arabs just exactly who's the boss. I'll bomb hell out of them. You wait and see. And I can see everybody south of the Mason-Dixon line going, yeah, Rudy. Yeah, Rudy. Well, what about the evangelicals that voted for Bush for president? They will sell out. They will sell out. They have gone on their family values for how many times now? How many times? Oh, we're the party of family values. We're the right to life and the family and all this. You know, we really stand for all that good stuff. Well, I know that maybe Rudy doesn't go along with us on all these things, but we want to win. We want to win. We don't want those evil baby-killing Democrats to get in office, so we'll go along with Rudy. No matter what he says, we'll go along with him. Rudy Giuliani is as thuggish and probably without morals as any man who's ever run for the presidency of the United States. Mark my word, more will come to light. But the Republicans will pick him because of his intent to inflame the entire Middle East and bomb Iran and anybody else that gets in his way. He will use that as a tool to get into the presidency. Here's a guy that's made millions and millions, tens of millions of dollars off the deaths of 3,000 Americans in the Twin Towers. Here's a guy that's made money off of them, set out to make money off of them, has. Here's a guy that had a chief of police, was corrupt as could be. He knew it. He put him in anyway. He wanted him as head of Homeland Security. He recommended him, knowing that he was just as criminal as Rudy himself. Mark my word. There are no principles on that side of the aisle when it comes to putting a guy up. Here's a man with no principles, this Rudy Giuliani. A savvy politician, to be sure. But of all the people that have run for office in the last 20 or 30 years, however long it's been, he scares me. He puts the fear in me. Believe me, he puts the fear in me. And believe me when I tell you, I believe he will be the nominee of the Republican Party. And he'll be the nominee on that side, and Hillary Clinton will be the nominee on the Democratic side, and it'll be mud thrown because they hate each other. There'll be mud thrown in that campaign like nothing you've ever seen before. It's going to be the down and most dirty mess that there'll ever be in politics. And I just rue the day that happens. But that's what I think. You want to know what I think a lot of times? That's what I think. I think it'll be Rudy and Hillary. And the corporatists will have a ball over that. They really will. And therein lies that quandary I was talking about. If, you know, Rudy Giuliani and 9/11, does someone please want to tell me what did Rudy Giuliani do that you wouldn't have done, that I wouldn't have done, that any mayor of any city, village, town, incorporated place in the United States wouldn't have done as a mayor? Please tell me what Rudy Giuliani did to deserve credit, all the credit that he's getting for 9/11. I don't understand. I will never understand. Like I said the other day, I would love to hear evidence of a major speech that Rudy Giuliani's given where he doesn't mention 9/11. The man is planning on riding that magic carpet right into the Oval Office. And it was music to his ears. And no one has benefited from 9/11 like Rudy Giuliani. No one. And don't think he hasn't taken complete advantage of it. And don't think that for one minute that the evangelicals won't sell out, because they will. There's evidence already that some of their leaders, well, you know, I don't necessarily agree. Now, yes, Dobson has said he would never go for Giuliani. One of the few times I've ever agreed with anything James Dobson has said. But you mark my word, there's going to be some of them, you know, as Thompson goes by the wayside, and he will. There's a guy that was, shot all his ammunition, and it's over with. Pretty much like Obama. My, I'm the brave prognosticator today, am I not? I'm giving you all these things, and, you know, this will be in the archives, and you can come back and say, hey, what a fool you were, guy, for claiming that Rudy Giuliani was going to be the nominee. Well, unless they find that, you know, he's actually robbed Fort Knox himself and have pictures, so I think he's going to be the nominee. I really do. Do I want him? No. No, he's probably the last guy on that side that I would want, unless, well, if Newt Gingrich would have won, boy, no, there's a tough one. Gingrich or Giuliani, oh my God. Woohoo. Scares me thinking about that. Hey, the trick-or-treater is going to be showing up here. I aired, and I believe me, I heard an email. Someone said, I said Halloween Eve, and it's not Halloween Eve. It is Halloween. Last night was Halloween Eve. Get your candy out, and all the trick-or-treaters are going to be coming by your house pretty soon. All the kids dressed up in their George Bush suits, and their God, I hope nobody comes to the door in a Dick Cheney suit. Now, that would, you know, carrying a shotgun with a hunter's cap on, woo-hoo-hoo, that would get me. That would really get me. I've enjoyed being back with you once again. I want to apologize for the technical troubles we had starting off the program today, but all is well now. And I've enjoyed being with you and enjoyed your phone calls. Shoot us an email if you got something to say about what we had to say today. Guy James at the Guy James Show. And please don't forget, this is a listener-supported program. And you can check out where to support the program on our website. And we hope you will do so. Thanks once again for being with us here on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network. Billy Shears, music director. Enjoy the Halloween Eve, and we'll see you tomorrow. I said it again, Halloween Eve. Enjoy Halloween. See you, gang. Don't forget.